Oh, there's Will.
Every time. Like, so they're doing the headlights that they did in the the Black Voices in Gaming.
I mean, let's be real here. We don't do a lot of things right. But at least we know how to make an entertaining podcast and not trip over ourselves like every few seconds. Granted, you stick me in front of a crowd of like 5,000 people, I may go if I'm in person. Here, you know, whatever. Like, I barely read chat when I'm actually streaming. What do you think I'm going to do when there's that many people in it?
We can go, what? I don't know, what?
Lando! You're in my chat, Lando!
You're lurking, Lando!
You should be... aren't you supposed to be racing, Lando?
He is, don't worry. He's fine. He's racing away at this moment in time. He just topped the timing in Q1 back here before Alonso just pipped him. But hey, welcome in, ladies, gentlemen, and non-binaries all around the world. This is the Game One Play Itself podcast with myself, Lord Teammaker, and the gentleman still recovering from the global bastard, James Atkinson.
Better every single day. Still have a cough every once in a while, and just get tired. Like, even to the point where I'm like, I don't even want to play Football Manager right now, which shows you how tired I get.
That's just awful. I mean, that's just awful. The audience of YouTube demands it. But yes, more on that later. But for now, we got a content dump to do, to finish, to unload onto you guys. And it was... It's the start of Summer Game Fest, or as we like to call it, Jeff Keighley and Friends.
Jeff Keighley and Friends! Awkwardly because staring at each other.
This year. I mean, we do want to put a point on that, because there are some more streams and stuff happening today. I'm not going to be watching a few of them, because I know that last year there was the one that we watched around E3 was just so fucking dull. It was the Guerrilla Collective. And I was just like, yeah, no thank you. No, nothing. But they started out with, think me. Space Festival, like. We'll get to that. I mean, there was quite a few. It started out with, say, the Black Voices in Gaming. Now, again, inclusion, fantastic. But I was reminded of the early days of the podcast when they just sat there for about 3 to 5 minutes like this. It was almost like they didn't realize they were live and then they had technical issues. It was like, but this is apparently not their first rodeo, so hey, what can you do? What can you do?
I mean, there's a thing to be said about pre-recorded like things like Jeff Keighley and Friends. That was pre-recorded.
That was live.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
Devolver Digital was pre-recorded.
Yes.
And we all know, for those of us who are on Twitch, what do? You take the Devolver Digital 2022.mp4 file, you put it as your main source on OBS, you click play, and then you start. And then it's done. You can run a production from that like that from your like desktop PC. So. Jeff Keighley and Friends.
Yeah, let's get started with it. And I know Fury, you can say in the chat, chip in. Well, feel more than free to chip in with stuff and things. But I'm going to give it a grade, first of all. And then we'll go through why I'm giving it a minus this year. Right? Now, you guys know over the years, I don't often praise Jeff Keighley for doing stuff. I just don't. Right, I mean, the reason it wouldn't be A or A plus is because of stuff like The Rock showing up for talking about his energy drink and the movie Black Adam. I'm like, okay, so what does this have to do with gaming? I mean, I'm a fan of The Rock, as you know, I smelt what The Rock was cooking during his WWE days, but there has to be relevance for it being on a show, And that was just almost like a token celebrity appearance for Jeff Tarr, you know, have his ego a bit massaged, going, look who I know this person. There was no Hideo Kojima this time. Again, probably, no reason.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, because last year.
I mean, let's be fair. Last time he did, like, last time they talked to him, he did equate, like, COVID to, like, the many deaths that happened during World War II's bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which, you know, a fair, you know, fair connection to make, just probably not on a gaming thing. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, well, The Rock already saved Fortnite. He doesn't need to save it again.
And he's been in plenty of games before Fortnite, anyway. Been plenty of wrestling games, hasn't he? Yeah, they also had the overexposure, or just too much time given to Modern Warfare 2. And the game that is fast becoming... the Elder Scrolls. Yes, I'm talking about Last of Us. Did this really need to be remade?
Oh, yeah.
And then shown with Troy Baker again.
Couldn't get Laura Bailey, but we got Ashley Johnson and Troy Baker. So, you know.
Yeah, so they were the bad points. They were the points that didn't need to be there, was just padding, in my opinion. Just get rid of those shit and just throw it away. The rest of it, including the overabundance of space games, it felt like, I actually enjoyed.
I like space
games. I wasn't pissed off by.
There does to be, like, there was, like, a good cross-section of some games that I'm happy to see that are ready to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I mean, like, I didn't watch the Jeff Keighley and Friends thing because I was working. I watched Devolver Digital because, let's be fair, Devolver Digital has the best trailer out there, or best, always has the best one out there. You can fight me on it. It's the truth, though. They always have the best conference.
But, I mean, just looking at the games, I mean, there was that Hellswingers, I believe it's called.
Right.
Before I get it completely wrong. That was a novel way of dealing with a first-person shooter. It's like a rock rhythm. Yeah, that... Again, Fury, that's correct. I mean, the name-drop in the Ukraine conflict was a bit... I don't know. It's just a little bit.
I mean, if you're going to do it, just like do it. Just don't be like. I think that was the one part I saw. It's like we you know, they wanted to be here with a full trailer, but didn't have it, and we, you know, hope to see you again in the near future. It's like I just don't. Just do it or not. It's also kind of funny. It's just like, ladies and gentlemen, we give our, you know, like, our support and everything to Ukraine. Now here's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
It's like, look, it's the Chernobyl section.
Here comes Stalker.
Well, Stalker different. Stalker different. In my mind, Stalker is different than COD. like COD is openly about the glory of Modern Warfare. I mean, it's in the name. It's in the name. Stalker is, I am this random Slavic man trying to make way in the weird, creepy future where there are anomalies about nuclear power plant. As I said, Slavic doesn't necessarily have to be Russian or Ukrainian. Slavic, yeah, 100% tone deaf.
Yeah, that one was.
But then again, we've known that with Jeff Keighley. Like, look at all of his previous ones. Like, I'm glad he brings, like, E3 doesn't go out. He does put on a show. He does bring out a lot of stuff. It's good to do that. At the same time, very tone deaf. Like
last year, for example, when Activision's shit was in full focal point for us. And what did he do? He mentioned briefly a little bit about it and then ploughed on with Ubisoft and their games. It's like,
and then,
hello?
And then here's Call of Duty. And here's Laura Bailey, the internet's darling. Everybody loves Laura Bailey. Dear to talk about an Activision game.
Yeah, it can't be awful if Laura Bailey's in it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
No.
There hasn't been a good COD in a long time. There hasn't been a good multiplayer first-person shooter in a long time.
I mean, COD being quite bad, it's like Lance Stroll going into a barrier. Yeah. You know, stuff like that's going to happen all the time.
That hasn't happened recently, though. You see Mick Schumacher going into a barrier, that's happened a ton.
I mean, the games that were shown, I mean, we had Street Fighter 6.
Which... Ryu looks old. Ryu got old.
Mm. Guile got old as well. Guile looks more like Brock Lesnar these days.
Still has great hair. Still has great hair.
And then we had, what else did we have? The Callisto Protocol, which is Dead Space.
Yeah, because it's made by the guys who created Dead Space 1.
Yeah. I mean, you see the gameplay trailers. Now we've added gore because we extended it. Thanks, Jeff. Let's have a look at it. Oh, it's fucking Dead Space. Not a bad thing.
No.
Because Dead Space is fucking scary. Well, the first two.
They could have given us a Dead Space 1 remake, but instead we're just getting a new version of Dead Space.
We are getting a remake of Dead Space. Just not by them. So we're getting two Dead Spaces in the span of a year?
Yeah. Which,
I mean, it's spoiling us. Then we had Gotham Knights, which again, is another Batman game.
It looks near.
Yeah. I mean, I'll wait to pass judgment on that until it's out and about.
Yeah, same here, but I just kind of look at it, I'm like, okay, like, we're getting Arkham Knights, Batman's, like, weird fetish children edition?
Yeah, it's Nightwing.
Nightwing and his Fortnite gladiator, why? Yeah, he's right?
Then they can do a crossover with Fortnite, I guess, for monies for people.
I mean, they've got Darth Vader in the Vibin trailer for season 3. That Star Wars, man. I mean, say what you will about Star Wars, but Jesus Christ. Like that. Really? But anyway, we digress.
We do. Then we have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, which is out, I believe, next week.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I like.
Yes. I like.
I remember playing TMNT on the SNES.
Mm-hmm. And which will probably be coming out as part of the Cowabunga collection later this year.
One can only hope.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else did we have? Because I'm looking at the trailer list while we're here. You know, Stormgate. Can't remember too much about. Then we've got Soul Hackers 2. Then we had a bit more of the Saints Row, where you could create your own character. Now, I'm going to say this right now to anybody listening, right? I'm going to say this now. If you're not creating Johnny Gat, what the hell are you even doing?
I mean, you can create other characters behind Johnny Gat, but as long as it looks like a generic protagonist from Saints Row 3...
The one thing, Johnny Gat, man. It's not Saints Row without Johnny Gat. I'm sorry.
It's not Saints Row unless you could take a giant purple dildo and beat people over the head with it, which I have a very, very, very suspicious feeling is not going to be in this latest version of Saints Row.
We're a huge Johnny Gat papier-mâché head that makes you look like Frank Sidebomb.
I mean, let's be fair. You know, Moist Critical has the Moby Huge on his channel and does stuff with it. Why can't you have it in a video game?
Yeah. Then you had Routine, which is another, looks like another spacey horror type thing.
It's going to be the new zombie space horror? Are we going back that way?
Possibly. Very possibly. We had as well, Outriders DLC?
Yep. Glad to see that they didn't give up on that project. That they're actually trying to push forward with it and trying to make the game better.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, because the thing is, I own Outriders, and I have played it. It is a genuinely fun looter shooter. So, you know, I hope it does well.
Game called Nightingale, which I don't remember watching. Like, realm cards and hunting and, yeah, big spiders and things. I don't remember that. Then there was a game called Neon White.
Right.
Now this looks... This uses cards to traverse the area. With things like shooting and melee and things. It's quite an interesting concept. It looks very anime as well.
I'm kind of done with card battle games, to be honest. I think that's been an oversaturated market for a while now.
This one is slightly different than like a normal sort of, you know, RPG, just use a card and throw dice. This is a first person shooter type that you're going along and you're using a card at a certain point to do things like machine guns.
Is one of the tags deck builder?
Possibly.
Then I'm done. How many deck building card games have we gotten of every fucking genre lately?
Yeah. Quite a lot, I think.
I think
Fortnite's name them. Then we have a game that I was excited for last year, Midnight Fight Express, which is the top-down twin stick. Beat the shit out of people. Use things like sinks and other environmental weapons to just kick the living daylights out of people. And if you like that sort of beat 'em up,
the demo's out now on Steam for it,
which you really should pick up. But I've got too many games to play. Just got far too many. Again, another Metal Hellsinger. Marvel's Midnight Suns. Now, this is a game that is probably going to be up your street,
James. I'm not getting it.
No?
Nope. No. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, might I tell you again, fucking card deck building in my XCOM. I don't want card deck building in my XCOM. No, really. I'm not getting this. I am boycotting this game. Firaxis, it's been how many years since you've released XCOM 2? 2016.
That long?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And instead, your next great project is a deck building. No, I don't want it. It's not my cup of it's. All right, I should say War of the Chosen, their DLC came out in 2018. It just doesn't look fun to me.
Fair enough. It's fair.
I don't want it. I don't care for it. I think they could have spent their time developing the next XCOM. They've had, where's Chroma Squad? Chimera Squad came out in 2020. It's been 2 years since you've had an XCOM game.
It's Chroma Squad 2, by the way. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's great. The gameplay's still been overhauled. There's still deck building in it. I don't like those games. I'm sorry. I see the strategy in it, but I don't want my abilities to be... I want my abilities to be on a random dice roll that has 95% chance to hit and still fucking miss. I don't want my abilities tied to, like... Oh, you got Doctor Strange levitate things. like, oh, I got Doctor Two Strange levitates, because it just doesn't make any sense. Like, let's force deck building into X. Let's force deck building into a survivor first-person shooter. Let's force deck building into an XCOM game. It's going to be in Fortnite next. You watch. Sorry, but like, I saw this when it came out, and I was like, great, this is awesome, a Marvel XCOM game. And they're like, with deck building mechanics. I'm like, and I'm out.
Fury is saying it as well. He would love to have seen gameplay, as the reports that after the first gameplay showing, the team have overhauled its gameplay, but all we got was pre-render. Ooh. I mean, it's funny you should say that, Fury, because that I was literally about to say about Aliens Dark Descent. If there's any game that reminded me of Alien Breed, it's that. I was surprised as hell. It's like, wait, they're doing another Aliens game? Let's have a look. Okay. Yeah, there's potential here. Yeah.
Let me find...
Isometric twin stick shooter. Full of xenomorphs. I'll go with it. I'll have a look. Make sure, you know. Because there's a game that also on the traders that I didn't see in that little list there that I'm looking at, looking for as we're talking. Flashback 2. Anybody remember the original Flashback? Way back on the Amiga?
Nope.
Conrad Hart? Along with the games Another World and Fade to Black? It didn't look an XCOM style. It looked more to me like a twin stick shooter. I mean, that was me not, you know, if it is an XCOM style, then again, I'll have a look at it. But yeah.
Let's see. Aliens Dark Descent. Once again, I haven't been able to recap on all of the trailers because I've been busy with actually working.
You've been busy recovering from COVID, mate. So, you know, that's a valid excuse. Yeah, I mean, if it's like Children of the Zodiac, that actually might work. Because yes. That was a real good game.
Alien Dark Descent, it's kind of hard to see from the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because there's no gameplay footage.
They did show a couple of, like, screenshots and stuff.
It's squad plays. Yeah, it's definitely squad based, for sure. It's just whether it's a difference of whether it's going to be like Helldivers.
Yeah.
Right, because let's be honest, Helldivers is probably the closest thing to a twin stick squad based destroy alien shooting game.
Bless you. But yeah, it intrigues me, the Aliens game. It really does. I hope it's not Aliens Colonial Marines, because we know how bad that went. We know how bad that went tits up very quickly. What else do we have then? We had a game called Zenless 00. Again, it looks like a fighting game. So, like, the one, what was it? What's the game you were playing recently like that? Japanese 3D beat-em-up swords and stuff. We played a couple of episodes on it on the YouTube channel, and I can't remember what it's called. Bollocks, I can't remember what it was called. But yeah, check it out. Check out that trailer. We moved on then to a game with the laziest fucking renaming in a series ever. Layers of Fears. They couldn't call it Layer of Fear 3. Why couldn't they do that? I literally went, oh, we're getting another Layers of Fear. I was like, okay, that's all right, you know. First one became a bit oof after the first half of it. Because you go from, oh, I think this is quite spooky to, oh, we're doing this again now, are we? Doing it again, are we? Which is the prime reason I never bought Layers of Fear 2. Because, you know, you like that jump factor, you like that scare factor. But it goes past a certain point where you just find it very samey, repetitive, and you just think, well, it's not scary anymore. It's like, can we finish the game now, please? What else do we have then? What's Humankind like? Because the other trailers I've seen here, like Humankind.
Humankind is like a civilization style game.
Right.
I have it. It's kind of fun.
Okay.
It still needs a little bit more time, but it's good.
Cool beans. Then there's a game called Honkai Star Rail.
MiHoYo, same people who do Genshin Impact.
Right. Then we had a couple of indie games like High Water, which looks like almost like a survivalist type. Through a world of an post-apocalyptic world where you're just trying to survive through a world flooded. That's what that seems to me. Oh, then we had two games. Now, one game here, when I first saw the trailer, I thought, are they finally going to give us... Are they finally going to give us Dead Island 2? And it completely flipped on its head on the trailer, and it turns out to be Goat Simulator 3.
Yeah.
Which is a joke in itself, because we haven't had two. It's so fair us. And then we moved on to American Arcadia, which looks fun. Yeah, it's like a Limbo-esque, you know, it's that style, that sort of side-scrolling. Yeah, just run, jump, do that sort of shit. But I like those games. They take up a nice, like, 3 or 4 hours of my time, and I'm happy with that. They're good. I like them. what else do we have then? We had Witchfire, which looked like a first-person sort of Western demons type thing.
Doom, like OG Doom.
Yeah. Which, again, looking forward to. We had more stuff about Warframe. We had a trailer for The Quarry, which is out now. And a couple of, we had what, Warhammer 40,000, Darktide, which is the 40k version from the same people who brought you Vermintide.
Which I will be getting, because I love that kind of game. Also, Bolt Gun, if you guys haven't seen any trailer for Bolt Gun, look that up. Imagine Warhammer 40,000 Space Hulk.
Right.
But done in the Doom 2 style. With the same kind of soundtrack.
Oh. Then finally we had the Troy Baker. Troy Baker voiced Fort Solace. Which is another space horror game, it looks like. Because, of course, we just needed more of those. And briefly, that was a sort of a quickish roundup of Jeff Keighley and Friends.
Jeff Keighley and Friends.
So again, it wasn't a bad show. It wasn't a bad show. There's things that they just didn't need to do. Yeah, I mean, The Last of Us. We did mention The Last of Us at the start of it, but... And it's the needless remake of it, needless re-release. You know, it's the Elder Scrolls. I think Naughty Dog are trying to recruit Todd Howard for the amount of times they wanted to release this thing.
Did they, see, this is the reason why it was smart that he did, that they didn't do the show, like, in front of a live studio audience. Because you know what would have happened, right? When they said, like, and now it's The Last of Us 1 remake, and somebody goes... You can hate or you can create.
Uh. So yes, that's why I sort of skirted over the Last of Us as part of the last of it, because you know we kind of mentioned that's downside. So from what you gave, what you saw, what you have seen of that, what did you make of it, James?
Meh.
I mean, there are some interesting games coming out, but you know, we knew it was going to be a slow trickle because people aren't major. The major studios are doing their own conferences when they want to. The pandemic has really held up a lot of productions on some stuff.
Yeah.
And like, really, really? I have to take a look here through my Steam. There's no, I mean, unless, Will, you can remind me, besides some like F1 manager coming out, there's no real like huge games that I saw trailers that I'm interested in. I saw trailers for like Atomic Heart. Didn't have a trailer.
No, I think that's going to be delayed, to be fair.
Yeah. Starship Troopers Terran Command didn't have a trailer. That's the Starship Troopers RTS game that's coming out, like, next week.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, June 16th. Starship Troopers RTS. We obviously didn't get Starfield, but we know why, because it's probably going to be part of the Bethesda Microsoft one.
Delayed. So that'll probably be why that won't be shown on Sunday.
Yep. And I don't think they're having a PC game show this year, are they?
Yeah, I believe it. Is it tonight the PC gaming show's on? It's either tonight or tomorrow night it's on.
Well, maybe, because I've, like, another game I'm interested in, Homeworld 3. No information on that.
One second. You keep... Four Kings, and I'll have a quick look, because I know the lovely Anomalina did a sort of an E3 block of all the stuff that's happening. So yeah. I'm just flicking down through our Twitter to see when the PC gaming show is on.
Even PC on gaming Steam,
it's tomorrow night.
Okay, it's tomorrow night. Like, even like, wow. Looking at like the Steam thing, Callisto Protocol. Yeah, looks cool. Soul Hackers, which is like a cyberpunk JRPG kind of thing. Okay, interesting enough. But like, there isn't anything too hype. And we knew that. And Jeff had come out and said, expect stuff from existing games. Like, okay, cool. Yeah. But like, you know, this isn't a hype year for games. This isn't like get up and hype. I don't know of like any... what are the major releases the second half of this year?
November is going to be God of War Ragnarok.
Supposedly.
Yeah. Second half of the year as well. It really started on the second half of the year, F1 22.
Okay. Madden and FIFA, we'll just get those out of the way too, because we know they'll be released.
Yeah. Anything else? I can't remember off the top of my head.
I mean, Diablo Immortal came out, and that's a shit show.
Yeah, did you read how much it would take to get the absolute best player to win in that?
No, they ran some numbers on it, and they said that was one of the possibilities, but the media quoted that and just ran with it, so that's not exactly true. But it's there.
Even if it's in the ballpark, that's fucking hefty.
Josh Strafe Hayes did a 48-minute breakdown of the video, and then added another 10-minute video yesterday, correcting some information.
Right.
There are 28 different currencies in the game, used to upgrade material and buy shit and stuff like that, and it gets even worse. So, I'll just give you the worst monetization part of it. You need to have a premium currency to put stuff up on the auction house, and you can only put gems on the auction house, rare gems that you slot into your gear to help your gear score go up. Cause you need like in most mobile games, you need gems of the same level, like three of them to rank up the gem to the next level. So it gets exponentially harder. Now there's Rift tokens, which, like, increases your chance for drops and or guarantees them. And there's Rift tokens that you get that are just regular Rift tokens, Rift tokens that you get that are like guarantee a legendary. But here's the thing. Any of the Rift tokens that aren't the ones that are bought directly from the shop, that are the shop Rift tokens, if you buy them in a bundle, if you buy them through the battle pass, you buy them any other way, those items are bound to you. So you cannot sell them on the shop. The only way you can get items that you can sell on the shop is if you buy the Rift tokens off the shop to then sell them on the auction house with the premium currency you have to buy off the shop.
That is just... And they want to... And Microsoft want to buy this company?
Yeah, no, Korn. I'm not stuttering here. I swear to God. Because if you and the funny part is, if you look at the artwork, they're exactly the same. And here's the best part. The Netherlands, well, you won't probably have to worry because the Netherlands and Belgium have already banned Diablo Immortal. You can't play it. Unless you have NordVPN, which allows me to segue into our sponsor, not NordVPN. God, that was a good one. But moving on from that, do you want to know how they avoid loot boxes? How they avoided the law?
Okay.
So the Rift is essentially a loot box. You go in, you play, you go in, you do the Rift, and then you get a chance at rare items. Now, you get a better chance for rare items by buying the Rift tokens. The reason why it's not a loot box, and loot boxes, by law, in some countries, you have to show the statistics of you being able, of what drops you're going to be able to get, right? That's part of it, because it's a gambling thing. You need to know your odds. The reason why Diablo Immortal doesn't have to do that is because you buy the Rift token, use the Rift token to open the Rift, you then run a 5-minute dungeon, and then you get the drop. Because there is a gameplay section in the middle of it, it's technically not a loot box, because it's behind a gameplay element, it's not a direct purchase to get the loot box. They found a loophole.
I mean, you know, Rocket League at least go, look, if you get this loot box, this is what you're going to get inside that loot box.
And it's cosmetic. There's nothing in the Rocket League loot box that is going to make you better at Rocket League, right?
Yeah.
And from what I've seen, people say, like, Diablo Immortal is actually a fun Diablo game. Like, it is actually a well-designed game. Like, you strip away, like, the pay-to-win aspect of it. It's a fun Diablo game. The loot is there. It's all there. But...
They couldn't help themselves, could they? They just couldn't help themselves.
Oh, Paul Tassi, if you don't know who he is, he's, like, the main writer for Forbes Gaming.
Yeah.
And he's an independent, I shouldn't say he's independent, but he does the majority of the Forbes Gaming of writing. He said that it is more pay to win and more predatory than Genshin Impact. Now, I'm a guy who plays Genshin, and I will say I have put money into Genshin. I don't spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, but I'll put $20 every month, month and a half, 2 months into it, which is roughly what you'd pay to play in an MMO. I used to play WoW, $15 a month. For me, that's what I'm willing to put into it. Because I come from that kind of side thing. Also because I play it with Kim. Me and my girlfriend play the game together. How many couples say that you can play a game together like that? She enjoys it. So regardless of that. Regardless of the monetary problem there, but like, think about that. Genshin is widely considered to be one of the most predatory games out there, right?
Yeah.
When they say this is worse by miles, like, we're talking like, remember the RTS games on Facebook, predatory bad?
Oh god, Farmville.
No, I'm not even talking about it, but like the RTS ones. Where, like, you had, like, the castle and, like, you had a shield for 7 days and you had to run your army out to resources and back.
Oh, like, God.
Like, it's that level of bad.
Oh, God.
And the thing is, too, that Blizzard are just plug yours to the thing. Like, they're like, oh, we've got 10 million downloads. I'm like, yeah, but do you know what the Metacritic score is right now?
31.
The user review for Metacritic?
25.
Oh.
No.
No, 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 no. Give me a second here. So Diablo Immortal.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, as a Metacritic score by critic reviews, is at a 62. User reviews. Now, mind you, this is user reviews.
Yeah.
Of 1,442.
Mm-hmm.
A not 0.2. Read that for you again. 0.2. It is the worst reviewed game in Blizzard's history. Now, people could be review bombing it. That has been known to happen. At the same
time, there's a part here, though, isn't there?
At the same time, what's the most thing you're going to get online? The people who are either really liking it or really hate it are going to review it. Mm-hmm. Not 0.2. We're talking F1 levels of difference here.
That's horrible. And, you know, to be fair, it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of cunts. And that's the bluntness of it, to be fair.
IGN hasn't even done a review of it.
Oh, they'd be doing it 10 out of 10, wouldn't they? Because we know you cannot spell ignorant without IGN.
Nope. It's just... And once again, it's... And I'm quoting Josh here because he tends to be very good at... Like, if you... I would say watch his video on it if you're interested in it. He does a much better job than I will ever do at explaining the kind of situation and stuff and breaking it down and making it understandable. But he has a great quote, which is for the people who just say, well, I'm having fun. I'm not spending any money, but I'm having fun, right? And he goes, that's good. We're not invalidating your fun, and we're glad that you are having fun. We are advocating you. We're advocating for your fun because we want the company to do better. That's what we want. We don't want them, like, we don't want them to put this kind of stuff in the game. Or if it's in the game, make it more clear to people. Like he's not even advocating against monetization in games. He's like, make it clear, make it concise, don't hide it behind predatory walls. Like, prove it. Just make it clear.
Yeah,
it's there's, like, two of the greatest reactions is, like, what, you guys don't have phones? And then, like... You know, is this an April Fool's joke? An early April Fool's joke? Like, the insanity that's been behind this is just nuts. And it's a good game. Like, people enjoy the fact that it's the thing. And actually, there's an even worse part of all of this. Well, have you played... You've played gacha games or these kind of play-to-win games before. Not currently, but you have in the past.
Yes, Candy Crush?
Yep.
Yeah, I have.
Right.
Do you know how much money I spent on it?
Fuck all.
Fuck all indie.
So let me get this. Let me tell you the worst predatory thing of this entire game. Because I've told you some horrible shit, right?
Yeah.
So, all the cosmetics you pay for in the game. Because there are cosmetics. You pay for cosmetics. You pay for legendary, you pay for rift stones and everything like that. All the stuff that you buy is per character, not per account. If you get and start a second character, none of the stuff that you bought on your other character transitions over. No cosmetics.
Yet.
No loot tokens. No battle pass. None of it. It is not a per account game. It is a per character purchase. So, and I'm going to use the number, even though it's not necessarily right. You spend up to $10,000 and not getting a legendary. That's for that one character. And the login, the daily login to keep certain items has to go until you have to log into each character, not your account, to get the credit.
Wait, yeah. Wait, you have to log in to keep the items you have.
So here's the funny part is about this. There is, if you do some of the pay systems,
yeah,
you could possibly lose some of the pay system stuff if you don't log in every day. Because you have daily login rewards, but some of the rewards are cumulative, not daily. So I get two guaranteed legend. I spend $20. And I think it's £8, £8.99, and I get 30 days worth of rewards. But some of them, the best ones, the guaranteed legendary drops at the end of a rift, is after 30 cumulative days. If I don't log in every day for 30 days, at the end of it, I don't get those. I instead have to spend another £8 to get another battle pass, to get my 30 days, to get the legendary things. Which, by the way, because they're on the battle pass and not from the paid store, if I get the legendary drops, I can't even sell them on the auction house.
It's fucking horrible. I mean, this is taking loot boxes and microtransactions and putting it to a whole new level of shit. That should have its own little subcategory of utter bullshit that they're spouting. It is just awful. Yeah,
Corton, you guys did the right thing. Like, it is predatory. It is absolutely predatory. And for people and for people who have self-control, who can play this game, God bless you.
Yeah, but it's people who can't. This is the problem. I sent you and Chris the videos from Bear, the Jim Jefferies stand-up show about gun control, yeah?
Yep.
And he said the biggest thing that people don't get when they go, fuck you, don't take my guns, is that, yeah, you may not fuck about with your guns. You may be safe as anything with them. And you may be saying, look, I'm not doing anything wrong. Why should they take them from me? But as Jim Jefferies pointed out there, and yes, it was in the comedy scenario, but it's very true. And it works this way as well. We have to move at a slower speed so everyone can come with us, so we keep society going. Because there are people here in the world who have problems, who are genuinely have problems. We also have people with such fuckwits that they ruin it for the rest of us. But it's also the ones we need to take care of are the vulnerable ones. And this is completely targeting them. This is completely targeting kids who know their parents will have their bank details connected to these games on mobiles. So they can just offhandedly just go, oh no, I didn't know what I was doing. Bollocks. Of course you knew what you were doing. You just saw something that you wanted. And that's what this practice is playing on as well.
So you're right, Corn. ESO does have a daily check-in system. So does Genshin. But I want to show you something about Genshin's. And I'm going to... And this is not me advocating for it. Here, not advocating for this. But this is me comparing it to one of the most popular gacha games, right? This is just giving you an apples to oranges comparison here. Mm-hmm. So here is the Genshin's monthly check-in. Now it resets every month. Now, I want you to look at this. On every 7 days, you get something. You get experience thing for your character, experience for your weapon, gold, premium currency, a food item, experience, gold, and it repeats. If you notice something here, this is all stuff you can earn in-game. This isn't premium currency. Now, you can spend money to get this stuff, but you can earn all of this in-game. And none of it here is breaking in any sort of way. And if you look, it's always experience, weapon experience, money, premium currency. And like you log into 18 days and you get the premium currency and then it stops. But it's, you know, then food, then experience, then the money again. And the rewards get a little better if you log in at later times. But it's not, this is free. Anybody can do this. Like, watch, bang, I can just log in and do it. Actually, I'll even do you one better. I'll do it live on show with you guys right now. But it's not, it's if you want to get more rewards, you can, but it's not contingent on you, like, progressing. And if you don't do it, yeah, you miss out on the later stuff, but it's not predatory. And this isn't tied to a monetization system. This isn't money. Like, you just do, you go onto a website, you click a button, and you get it in your mail. This isn't like, I have to do this, and then I also get this, and it's part of a paid battle pass. Which is nuts.
Yeah, that's...
That's
just so horrible that they've done this. It's not surprising, unfortunately. It's just fucking horrible that they've done that.
All right, so watch. Ready? Watch how horrible this is. Click. Thank you. Congratulations, you've checked in for today. That's it. And then I can review my rewards history. See what I've got, it, how many times I've logged in and checked in. That's it. Oh, boy. Yeah, Diablo... I like some people have started to call it what it is. They don't call it Diablo Immortal. They call it Diablo Immoral.
Yep. And it's stuff like this that Devolver Digital take the absolute piss out of.
Yeah.
Because they see it as much as we do.
Rightly so.
Yeah. Which their show was brilliant again, as usual.
They had like
You look at it and go, what?
They had one or two interesting looking games.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, their shows are some of the best shows out there. Like, just overall, as a conference, what they do is, like, at this point, I get excited to watch the Devolver Digital show because I want to see how they're advancing their like, in-trailer, like, in-show lore more than that.
I love the fact that this year they took the piss out of, like, stuff using nods to RoboCop 2. I mean, that was the Mark 2.
This is the first loot box coin. It's like, wow, we are going there. So, no, I absolutely, Devolver Digital, like, they've had, like I said, but they get it. Like, they understand it. And the worst part is that they have to take the piss. Mm-hmm. And, like, we enjoy the fact that they are taking the piss out of the industry more than, like, Jeff Keighley's actually super serious, like, Summer Game Fest show.
Yeah. The Jeff Keighley, I'm so excited, let's bring games together. Let's kiss the ass of companies that shouldn't be having their ass kissed.
I do want to say, I do hope, and I really do hope this, that Todd Howard makes an appearance next week. I really want a Todd Howard show. Like,
he'll be there tomorrow. Don't you worry.
I just want the hype. Like, that's the thing. Like, Todd Howard, ultimate hype man. Love the hype that he brings. Don't care that he doesn't deliver. Once again, like, we can bitch and complain about the fact that, like, oh, they haven't delivered on anything. How many times have you all bought Skyrim?
Once. That's PS3.
Yeah, I have it on the PS3 and PC. And the PC one, like, if you bought Skyrim when it first came out, you got a great investment, like a long-term game that is still modded to this day, and you got the special edition for free, the HD uptick of it. Like, oh, you overpromised and underdelivered. Yeah, but people are still playing a lot of Fallout 4 and Fallout 3 and Skyrim. So.
People are still playing Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Yes, that is and was.
Yeah, they're still doing stuff with Fallout 76. I mean, God bless them. I mean, let's Fallout 76 was another shit show. Mm-hmm. At least they tried something. Yeah. I won't fault you for trying something different. We can only hope. We can only hope.
I mean, that, you know, speaking of that, for for the petition I put up on Twitter this morning, it's a local thing for me. You know, it's something that directly would affect Mum. So, of course, I want to keep it as, you know, down as best as I can. Because believe me, I would rather not be paying upwards of 40 quid to take Mum to a hospital. And then another 40 quid back. It's fucking too much. Too fucking much. But anyway, yeah, so the Plucky Squire was a highlight for me from the Devolver Digital. That itself looked amazing. The Warriors Rubber. I'll ban you for that. Hey. Though, if we had Todd Howard driving a cab, that would be worth it. Those were the two that I looked at the past couple of days. Tonight, we say we got the Future Game Show, which I believe Doug Cockle and the lady who was Triss, I believe. The lady who was Triss or Yennefer is going to be co-hosting with him.
In the Witcher series night, or the Witcher video games?
Video games.
Okay.
Because it's Doug Cockle is Geralt. He is the voice of Geralt. Let's make no bones about that, right?
Yeah, he is the voice of Geralt, but Henry Cavill is the abs of Geralt.
Yes. I thought you were going to say he's the ass of Geralt.
Yeah, true.
Fallout 1.
Fallout 1, new one? That mod is coming out soon.
Yeah, we should ask Tish for that. For reasons. I don't... Shall we skip what we've been playing this week?
Football Manager, Chrono Cross, and Genshin. There you go. Mm.
More Castlevania. Chroma Squad finished. What else did I finish last night? Armed and Dangerous finished. More NASCAR Heat. There we go. I didn't know that Jeff Keighley was Hideo Kojima's best friend, Gio. That astounds me. And he wasn't on there, so that was a surprise, wasn't it? But yeah, so, pimp outs and shout outs next week, next weekend, on the Friday evening, probably around about 8 o'clock-ish. And also from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the Saturday, I'm going to be a part of a charity stream as part of a quiz on the Saturday night and a part of Fall Guys during the Friday on CTR Tez's stream. So if you go to twitch.tv, no, don't go to twitch.tv, go to youtube.com/CTR Tez. Have a look for him there because he's on YouTube now. Yes, my time. So 5 hours back from you, Gio.
Imagine people who don't know what BTS is. BST.
Behind the scenes of it. So charity stream for MDNA. So that's Motor Neuron Disease Association, I believe. So yeah, give him a look. Join in. If you can give him money, please do. Because it's a very worthwhile cause. And he's a good bloke. He's a good bloke. Do you have any pimp outs? Shout outs?
Thank you all for being here. you chat. You make this fun. Also, like, literally everybody who found the YouTube channel, because that was a weird thing. That's been a thing. Just since we've been live, it's got another 10 views. We're at now at 169 subscribers, so nice.
Wow. So if you haven't followed our YouTube channel of TGWPIS...
We're at 169.
Add another 100 to it. It's fine. It'll be 269.
Nice.
Give it a follow. Give it a watch. Give the videos a watch. We've done some plenty of videos on there, and it seems to be growing.
I told Chris about the fact that we gained 9 subscribers, and he was just like, we have 169 subscribers. He's like, on Twitch? I'm like, I wish. No, Donnie. I really want to talk about their major. This is when they really became popular. It's not about the music. Yes, before we start going into American Psycho references. Have a great afternoon, evening, wherever you are, folks. We'll talk to you later. Enjoy some nice chill outro music, because I'm going to keep playing the song because it is my jam right now.
And Fury, if you're around on July 3rd, July 2nd, let me know in Discord, because the show will need a guest.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.